Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely weekend in the sunshine in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 27th of April. Coming up here, the moment a man suspected of stealing a phone from a child was caught by police.
Police, where are you? Police, where are you?
Sean, his phone's hopping.
A man who started using ketamine when he was just 14 issues a stark warning to young people.
There's a lot this drug does to you mentally and physically that I don't understand nowadays. I feel like I'm different. I could do this, I could do that. I promise you now, give it half a year, whatever, you'll 100% down my mother's life. You would regret everything.
And the Gillingham manager speaks following a heavy defeat at Barnet.
Worst day is Jill's manager for me. That was a poor one today, a real poor one. The irony is if we defend set pieces better, which I've gone on about and on about and on about and on about, it's the 3-2.
But first, a Medway woman's been banned from Blue Water after being found with £5,000 worth of stolen goods. Well, Lucy Hudson's been taking a look at the court case for us. So, Lucy, how did this all come to light?
Well, Sonia Verdi was caught stealing from various shops at the centre, including Pull & Bear, New Look and River Island. She was also found with a list of items to steal on her phone. Following her arrest, officers found more than £2,500 worth of stolen items in her Audi. Another 145 items were found during a search of the 36-year-old's home on Cooling Road in Strood.
And I understand details of her employment and living situation were discussed during the case.
Yes, that's right. Her defence lawyer said it was the first time his client had been in court. Russell Morling went on to explain how Verdi lives with her parents and brother and has worked on and off since leaving school. She was previously claiming universal credit and is said to suffer from arthritis. Her defence team say she was planning to sell the stolen items but hadn't yet, with no listings on Facebook or Vinted. They also said she's sorry for what she's done.
And Lucy, what sentence was handed down by magistrates?
The 36-year-old was placed on a 12-month community order, which will involve her carrying out 120 hours of unpaid work, as well as being banned from going to Blue Water. She'll also have to pay compensation to some of the companies she stole from at a rate of £20 a month. The chairman of the bench said the court takes shoplifting thefts very seriously as it impacts everybody. It's important you recognise that, as if you commit these offences again, next time it will be more serious.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a teenager's died in a crash involving a motorbike and van near Sittingbourne. The bike the 17-year-old was riding collided with a VW transporter travelling in the opposite direction on Lower Road in Tong on Saturday afternoon. Crash investigators want to hear from anyone who saw the crash or has dash cam footage of the vehicles. Elsewhere, another motorcyclist has died following a crash on the M2 in Medway. The Harley Davidson, the 63-year-old was riding, collided with the central reservation on the coastbound carriageway between junctions 2 and 3 on Saturday night. We're told he was from the Maidstone area and an investigation's underway. A Kent police officer who was caught naked in a Chatham park has been told he faces jail if he offends again. Simon Ince was seen in Woodland near Vale Drive in 2024. He claimed he was wringing sweat out of his clothes. Inappropriate photos of himself were later found on his phone. Well, the 52-year-old has been made the subject of a sexual risk order, which prohibits him from removing his underwear in public and is banned from going to the Horsted Valley Nature Reserve. A man suspected of stealing a phone from a child has been caught after jumping out of a window in Maidstone as he tried to avoid police. Sean McFetridge was escaping through the window as officers entered the property in Hope Street on April the 17th. Body-worn footage from the officers shows the moment he was chased down and arrested.
Police! Police! Where are you? Police! Where are you?
Sean! Sean, his phone's hopping! Sean, where are you going? He's gone through a house! now you're under arrest.
For what?
For theft. Do you have to say anything, but it may harm your defence.
Sure.
Could you not mention my questions? Something to later in the court. Anything you do say may be given evidence.
Now, he jumped garden fences but was eventually detained at a nearby property. The 43-year-old from Yalding Hill was later charged with two counts of theft and criminal damage and was locked up for 8 weeks.
Kent Online reports.
Hundreds of people in Sittingbourne are struggling with poor phone signal due to problems with local masts. It's affecting customers of major providers including O2, Vodafone, Three and Sky Mobile, who can't make or receive calls without a Wi-Fi connection. A spokesperson for O2 has confirmed work is underway to fix the issue. Two former volunteers with Kent County Council have resigned after being defeated while trying to improve issues for the traveller community. The pair were there to help bridge the inequalities for members, including those living on caravan sites. But after 12 months, they say there was no action from the local authority. KCC say they're committed to tackling health inequalities and hugely value the role volunteers play in helping improve the health of underserved communities. Now, plans have been approved to buy nearly 800 homes in Medway and run them as council properties. £46 million is going to be spent on purchasing the social housing from a registered provider which is moving out of the area. Council bosses say it'll help improve standards for tenants. Next on the podcast today, in a man who started taking ketamine when he was just 14 years of age has issued a stark warning to other young people as he recovers at a facility in Kent. Use of the drug has been growing, particularly among young people. At his worst, Joel Booker was taking around 14 grams of the substance a day, which left him with serious bladder damage. He's now 31 and says the Kenwood Trust in Yalding have saved his life.
I accept why people didn't help at that time until I started to see it for myself. So me being sober, I've gained real relationships with my family again. I've got support. I engage with outside groups, CA, big thing for me. I've got myself a sponsor. I've got good connection around me. I'm getting things sorted now with doctors, hospitals, and stuff like that. I'm getting treatment, but what I'd never think would be possible. I've gained a lot from just being sober in these last 1 year, 4 months. Do you know what I mean? I've gained massive, which I didn't start to realise until a couple of months into rehab. Do you know what I mean? All the good things, all the positive instead of the negatives. So yeah, me being sober, I've gained massive amounts of respect from everyone, really. Do you know what I mean? From friends to people you don't know. And yeah, so I've gained a lot. One message I'd have to say is just get off of it while you can, while there's still no repercussions, because as soon as you start getting these repercussions, I promise you now, you would never want to live the life I'm living right now. It is, even though I'm sober, I have bad, very bad days. There's some days I can't walk. I'm crippled in bed, crying. And that's me being sober. A year and 4 months. So I mean, the suicide's still there. I still feel like I'm not worth it. There's a lot this drug does to you mentally and physically what they don't understand nowadays. They feel like I'm different. I could do this, I could do that. I promise you now, give it half a year, whatever, you'll 100% down my mother's life. You would regret everything.
Now, earlier this year, the government was advised that ketamine should remain Class B, but police and healthcare professionals should get more support to identify its harms.
Kent Online reports.
A catapult ban has come into force across Tunbridge and Morling as the authority makes changes to its public spaces protection orders. For the first time, no one over the age of 16 is allowed to have one in their possession in public. The ban also applies to anything that can be fired from a catapult. Anyone caught breaking breaking the rules could be forced to hand the weapon to police or face a £100 fine. The family of a young girl from Hythe who suffers more than 100 seizures a day are trying to raise money for treatment in Mexico. 8-year-old Quinn Hills has a genetic condition which affects just over 1,700 people worldwide. Her parents need £40,000 to fund a trip for special non-invasive treatment in the hope she'll be able to come off some of her medication. A McDonald's drive-thru in Maidstone has asked permission to stay open until 2 a.m. The site on Hart Street currently has to close at midnight. Neighbours have previously raised concerns about noise disruption. The application's being considered by council bosses. Next, and an appeal's been launched by a Medway charity as they look to raise money after their funding was cut. Who Cares is based on the Who Peninsula and helps residents with things like medical appointments, housing and benefits, and community activities. However, last year, their funding was cut by the council due to financial pressures. Well, they're now trying to raise £35,000 to keep things running while they transition to being self-sustainable. Operations manager Barry Andrews has been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
We're operated with six staff currently, which obviously there's costs to having six staff on board, but we have 100 plus volunteers that are supporting our organisation, and perhaps without their help we wouldn't be able to achieve as much as we do. But having six staff is a big cost to the organisation. We managed to run a lot of our support on really, really low budget and from some great donations and some great grants and things that exist out there. But staff costs often are struggled to be covered through these kind of avenues because a lot of grants don't cover those kind of costs. Without being able to bridge that gap, we would have to look at downsizing the staff even more. The problem we face when you do that is that we can't coordinate the activity that exists with the volunteers providing it across the peninsula, and then there becomes a gap where people aren't able to contact the office because the office isn't operated, and then our support kind of dwindles down. And I guess the truth of the answer of that is we would have to reduce our costs even further. And in reality, the staffing would be the place that would have to go first.
And obviously that could mean that hundreds of people would have their support withdrawn, I suppose, because obviously you can reach out to everyone that you used to reach out to.
Yeah, that would lead to perhaps waiting lists for referrals that would be longer and longer. So people would be then waiting weeks and weeks just to be seen for that support, let alone for the answer or for a solution to be found or empowered. Beyond that, transport that we do for individuals might not be able to be achieved because, again, there's costs to doing those kind of things. We would pay volunteers their mileage, as you rightly would, and many of our volunteers very kindly donate it back to us, but there's still costs to achieve that. But without money to be able to support those ventures, then those things would, less transport would be able to be achieved, and people would find themselves in a lot more of a challenging situation.
So how much money do you need to continue? How long is this gap going to continue, do you think? Because obviously I think some people may wonder if they're going to donate money or try and support Who Cares. How long is this interim kind of position of uncertainty going to last?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think it's quite key to remind everybody what, although we've got a crowdfunding campaign out there, it is very, very much titled Bridge the Gap. We're very keen on people understanding that we're not a kind of organisation looking for forever funding. This is about helping us get through what's effectively a rough patch because of these delays with the CQC and Peninsula Care. So we're hoping that the CQC accreditation comes through within the next month, month and a half maximum. And then from there, we can start growing our limited company that we own and then turn the profits towards Who Cares in order to enable Who Cares to continue. With this kind of drop in funding, we've really, kind of gone out there asking for, I think our campaign set at £35,000 in order to kind of help cover core costs over the next couple of months. So for an organisation, we've strategically kind of restructured ourselves to kind of do as much as we can to continue as much support as we can during these times, and hope that we could redress that again in a couple of months' time and then build it back up from where it was.
Kent Online News.
A Star Wars-themed protest is being planned in Deal as part of a fight to save a derelict cinema. The Regent has been empty since 2008 and recent plans to revive it have been thrown out. Campaigners will dress as characters from the sci-fi franchise on May the 4th, known as Star Wars Day, outside the venue on the seafront. Kent Brewer Shepherd Neame has submitted plans for a new pub garden in a public green space in Faversham. They want to take over the plot of grass next to the Creekside Albion Taverna with picnic tables and benches. A similar bid failed in 2019 because local bosses said it would have a negative impact on neighbours. The final decision will be made by the council's planning committee. Now, if you head to Kent Online, you can see pictures of a new Lidl being built in Strode. The supermarket off the A228 Roman Way near Medway Valley Park was approved in 2023. It's expected to open early next year and create more than 40 local jobs. And the asking price for a former Kent Garden Centre has been slashed. Wyvale between Faversham and Sittingbourne has been derelict for almost 20 years and was put up for sale for £5 million in 2024. It could now go for £1.5 million at auction next month.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with football, and Gareth Ainsworth says he's experienced his worst day as Gillingham manager. They were beaten 6-2 at Barnet in League Two on Saturday. The home side needed a win to be in with a chance of pushing for the playoffs, while the Gills were playing for pride after a disappointing season. Well, it was their penultimate match of the campaign and final away game. Gareth spoke to us after the final whistle.
Worst day as Gills manager for me. That was a poor one today, a real poor one. The irony is, if we defend set pieces better, which I've gone on about and on about and on about and on about, it's the 3-2, which we go away going, you know what, Barnet have had a hell of a season, they're in good form, they've got all their players fit, great. But we just concede too easy. Said it, I'm going to change it. There's no fight I haven't stepped into that I haven't won, and I'm going to step into this one and win this one because, again, just, you know, not good enough. Players kicking the ball off the pitch with no pressure, players... Just Barnet looked stronger, fitter, and I just can't fathom why we're so easy to score against. You know, when the boys collapse, they properly collapse. Opposition get a corner, and everyone's worried. And that's the change. We can't be worried just because of corner. We warned them about the corners. We warned them about how quick they could be on their set pieces. But again, we've conceded too many. And listen, the boys, if that's their best, then they're not good enough. And that's it. That's all I ever tell my kids. I've said this before. I say to them, do your best. And if your best isn't good enough, I'll try and make your best better. So I've got to try and make the best better. But there's some basics here. There's some real basic stuff. Running, like winning tackles, cuteness in games, passing to each other. It's not about the formations and the way that Barnet have a man on the top line and then he goes in midfield. I'm like, deal with it, you know, they're not better than us. It's 11 against 11, but fair play to Barnet. You know, they beat us today strongly. They're on a real good run. What I will say is there's one shining light, absolute shining light in that performance today, and that's Sully Booth. Mm-hmm. I'm so pleased I picked him. The only thing I'm gutted for is that he's on the end of a 6-2 defeat because he doesn't deserve it. But when a first-year academy player is up there with your best players on the pitch, what is going on? That's my question. And I am saying, if that's the best, it's not good enough, I've got to make it better. I've got to find it better, I've got to make it better, and that's what I'll do. But that was a poor one. But Sully, well done, kid. He's got a future, big future, you know. And he's took his goal brilliantly, right place, right time, great ball across the face of the goal. And then he's got the assist for Josh Andrews, put it in a dangerous area. It's not so difficult, this game, you know. And a first-year academy player there has stepped up and done really well. So really pleased for him. I know his mum and dad were here. And it was great to see him. His dad was here, so Boothie. And I know he's going to be a winner because of his dad. But, just speechless at times. And And that's all I can say.
Staying with football, and Arsenal have beaten Lyon 2-1 in the first leg of their Women's Champions League semi-final. Kent's Alessia Russo created some good opportunities for the Gunners at the Emirates yesterday. The second leg is in France on Saturday. Elsewhere, London City Lionesses have beaten Leicester City in the Women's Super League. The side who train in Aylesford secured a 5-1 victory in Bromley yesterday. They're currently seventh in the table. And in cricket, Kent have lost to Worcestershire in their latest County Championship match. They were beaten by an innings and 2 runs on day 3 in Worcester. Kent remain without a win after 3 games this season and a second from bottom in the Division 2 table. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.